Welcome to Unreal Interviews with Dr. Paige Williams, the conversations that never actually happened but absolutely should have. In this series, I explore leadership, accountability, and high performance through the lens of some of the world's most legendary interviewers. But here's the twist. They're not actually here. Using AI, these conversations are inspired by their signature styles and reimagined to challenge how we think about what it really takes to lead well today. The hosts may be unreal, but the insights, well, they couldn't be more real. Let's dive in. Okay, I'm ready to begin, chat.
All right, let's get started. Welcome to another episode of Unreal Interviews. Today, we have a fantastic discussion lined up on embedding accountability into team culture. I'm thrilled to be joined by our guest, who'll share insights on this crucial topic. To kick things off, how do you see accountability shaping organizational culture?
Well, it's just the root cause of it, because the thing about accountability is it's an upstream solution to a lot of the downstream challenges and issues that leaders and teams are dealing with day to day. So when we think about accountability, we often think about it through delivery of tasks or delivery of outcomes, delivery of KPIs. And yet actually accountability is about everything that we do, not just what we do, but how we do it. And so it's just as important that teams, team members, leaders, people in organizations are invited into accountability around culturally significant behaviors. So not just what we do, but how we do it. And is that aligned with the culture that we want to create in this team and in this organization?
That's a powerful perspective. It sounds like accountability isn't just about metrics, but also about embodying the values that define a team. How can leaders foster this comprehensive view of accountability in their teams?
Well, I think this is about, first of all, getting really clear about what the expectations are, whether they are cultural expectations around perhaps how we're bringing our values to life. What does that look like to live our values in our context, and specifically then in this team? Because we know that cultural values are often kind of set at the organizational level. And so that's the global perspective. But then what does it mean for those to be lived out locally within our team? What does it mean for us to meaningfully live those with each other as peers and colleagues and with our customers, whether they're internal customers or external ones? So I think it's really important that actually when we think about culture and accountability, we understand how closely they're connected and that they have this kind of mutually reinforcing relationship with each other.
Absolutely. Setting clear and meaningful expectations is crucial. How can leaders effectively communicate these values and ensure they're consistently practiced within their teams?
Well, I think that once the values have been decided, and often that's not at the team level, but so let's imagine a scenario where the organizational values are in place. And then it's about having a conversation within the team around what does this look like for us? What are the expectations, the shared expectations that we're going to create with each other and supportively hold each other accountable to in terms of how we bring the organizational values to life through the way that we work together. So not just what we do, but how we do it. And this is a critical piece in how accountability gets kind of threaded and weaved into the DNA of organizations and teams, because it's about how do we do what we need to do together, and embedding accountability into that is the way to sustainable high performance.
That's a powerful insight. So once a team establishes these shared expectations, what are some practical strategies or steps leaders can take to ensure these values are consistently reflected in daily actions and decisions?
Well, let's be clear, it's not just about values. I think values is an important aspect to look at accountability through, because often we don't think of accountability as being connected to living values in an authentic way, in a very meaningful way in teams and organizations. But let's also think about what does it mean to embed accountability into teams ways of working. One of the ways that I found is most powerful to do this is to think about what are the routines that we have, how do we get the work done, what are the mechanics, if you like, the routines that mean that we coordinate to get the work done, and equally, what are the rituals that we have that mean that we connect with each other, so almost like the dynamics, how are the dynamics of our team created, and using both of these things, we can embed accountability into the DNA of the way a team operates. So, for example, one of the things I teach in my Own It methodology is that we need to have 5-star meetings. Now, they need to be 5-star because they deliver what team members need in order to make progress. And they need to be 5-star so because they need to be engaging and energizing. They need to actually activate accountability in the meeting so that people come out feeling more clear, more supported, and more engaged in the work that they need to do. So that's kind of the mechanics side of it. The dynamic side of it might be that a kickoff to a 5-star meeting would involve people sharing a win for the week or people sharing something great that's going on outside of their work role. And this is where the connection comes in, right? Because we need to not only activate accountability, but we need to create and cultivate connection, because that's how we get sustainable high performance. That's how, when things aren't going according to plan, teams come together and are able to make progress despite that.
That's a comprehensive view. Embedding accountability through routines and rituals creates a strong foundation. Could you expand on how leaders can maintain this accountability, especially in times of change or crisis?
I think that this then comes to, if you like, the third R. So in my how to embed accountability in culture, I talk about routines, rituals, and a third R is rhythm. Like, how frequently are we doing these kinds of conversations? And this is the thing, they need to be meetings that matter and conversations that count. And they need to be happening with a frequency that actually is in service of us continuing to make progress, so that even when things are changing, we're able to get a degree of certainty because we have this touch point on a weekly basis. This is often a challenge I see with teams and leaders, in that they don't create containers for these conversations to go on. And yet these meetings that matter, 5-star meetings in the Own It methodology that I teach, they are a critical part of how we embed accountability in the way that we work together, how it becomes normalized, because it's a way of us moving through a meeting. It's a way of us approaching a conversation rather than it being something that's kind of bolted on to the end. So when we have these, when we have the right rhythm around our meetings, and when they are 5-star meetings, we're having the right conversations in the right way at the right time, and enough to keep people feeling safe and certain about what the next steps are going forward.
That's a powerful framework. Consistent rhythms and meaningful conversations create stability and trust. How can leaders ensure these 5-star meetings stay effective and engaging over time, especially as teams evolve?
That's a really interesting question, because one of the pieces of work I've done in my kind of working with teams and leaders around accountability is develop an accountability maturity model. And so it's understandable that if accountability isn't something that's been focused on in a team or an organization, they're at a lower maturity level. And that might be something even as far as to say that they're avoiding accountability because they've got old models and frameworks in their mindset around it. That means that it's punitive. It's not the progressive setting up for success done right accountability that I teach and that is so powerful in lifting and achieving sustainable performance. So levels of maturity as teams progress, say from an avoidant through to a compliant, through to owning what's theirs to own, we then might move up to accountability being embedded, to then accountability being elevated so that it's actually in, around all the systems and between teams as well as within them, the cadence and the type of these meetings needs to change. So if we're at a lower level in terms of the maturity model, then it might be that we need to have quite prescriptive meetings. okay? And they need to happen with a greater degree of frequency. And there's quite a tight agenda so that there's lots of almost like top down for the accountability, so that we're creating new rhythms, we're creating new habits, and we're creating an environment where, yes, it's safe for us to talk about accountability and to give people the confidence and certainty to kind of take the next steps. As we move up the maturity model, perhaps through compliance and into ownership, then it might be that those types of meetings become more free-flowing, they're more two-way, where actually have a greater degree of discussion and flexibility around how accountability is achieved, what it looks like. There might be more peer coaching rather than it being kind of more from the leader to the team. And then as we move up through then from owning and to embedding and then elevating, there are different types of meeting that might come in. It might be that we have walk and talk accountability sessions. It might be that there's peer coaching accountability meetings. It might be that we inject kind of 30-day challenges, 30-day sprints into the cadence of accountability meetings. So the critical thing about meetings is to meet the team where they are in terms of the maturity level of accountability, so that they actually feel that the meetings are something that are helping them succeed, not something that are kind of shutting them down. A team's current maturity level and accountability? It's actually fairly easy, because what happens is you'll realize that there are particular types of behavior showing up in a team depending on what maturity level they're at. So I mentioned the five levels previously. We start at kind of avoidant, and that's where accountability, it might be absent, it might be unclear, or it might be that it's actually being actively avoided. And so if it is, what kind of behaviors are you seeing? Well, you're seeing that that people are perhaps missing things completely, or they're being double handled. We're seeing things where deadlines are often being missed. We're seeing things where there's a lot of kind of finger pointing and name and blame and shame going on. And really, when we're in that kind of drama, then there isn't a lot of progress being made, unfortunately. And that can really affect morale. So if we're in that lowest kind of level of maturity and we're in that avoidance space, then that's what that can feel like. As we move up to the mid-range, so let's imagine we've come through compliance, which is where, yes, people do what they're asked to do, but no more than that. They're not kind of taking initiative on it. That's what compliance looks like. Well, then once we get to the own it side of things, where they're actually taking kind of ownership for what needs to be done, there's some personal responsibility being demonstrated in the team. And it's still taking some direction from the leader, but overall, people are kind of delivering on what they're being asked to deliver without too much kind of follow-up being required. Then the next level is for us to move to an embedding. And this is where we see a lot more peer-to-peer coaching, peer-to-peer support, peers alongside each other, supporting each other to be accountable, giving each other nudges and reminders. And so this is where you can see it's come from the very individual me level, which is a kind of owning and ownership, out to it being embedded in the we of the team. And then when we get up to the elevate, this is where we can see that between teams, it's quite comfortable for us to talk about accountability. And this is how actually we cascade it out to create the organizational change. We often think that things need to be done at the biggest system level. And yet systems research shows that actually what we need to create are these kind of islands of change that then connect together. And in organizations, that's often a team by team basis. And so when we get to the highest level in the maturity model, the elevate, the level of elevate, level five, that's when we've got this accountability that's flowing between teams, between divisions, between layers and levels in the organization in a way that's really clear, clean, and effective. And that's when we're accessing sustainable high performance.
That progression through the levels is enlightening. It's clear that creating these islands of change can build up to a comprehensive organizational shift. How do you recommend leaders support teams as they move up through these maturity levels?
Well, that's a really great question, because obviously, depending on whether you're moving from one to two or two to three, then what a leader needs to do to kind of help making the progress is different. So let's imagine then we've got a team who's moving between the avoidant and the compliant levels. That's levels one and two. Then, well, they're still relying on external kind of reminders and nudges. And so rather than doing that, move towards a more coaching model, create safe spaces for accountability discussions so that actually we're building that certainty around, no, it's okay for us to talk about what's not going well, where we need support. So there's a real coaching flavor to moving between level one avoidant and level two compliant. Once we're at compliant, it's really about encouraging initiative. So we're shifting towards an empowering nature of our conversations. We're providing feedback that really encourages and reinforces growth and moves people beyond just complying, just doing enough, just following the letter of whatever has been asked of them. Once we get beyond that and we're transitioning between compliant and the own it, the kind of owned level, then we're transitioning towards personal ownership, whereby people are perhaps making some decisions around how they might need to do the work or the timing or collaboration that might need to be involved. There's still some leader-driven accountability needed here, but really this is all about strengthening peer accountability. So a critical piece here is reinforcing the culture where individuals, members of the team, they really own their commitments because we're encouraging them to co-create them. So this is a part where the partnering energy of accountability becomes super critical. Once we're in that owned level, which is the mid-level, it's level three, we see teams taking personal accountability, but they may lack that strong peer-to-peer support. And so our focus now is to shift towards collective responsibility. How do we build team-based kind of systems and structures, whether that's buddying people up or having collective outcomes, measuring things where people need to collaborate in order to achieve the kind of what I call the magic metric that we're measuring progress by. We're encouraging constructive feedback peer-to-peer. And this is where the rituals that I talked about, where those creating constructive connection and really cultivating that, that's where this can be really important at this level three, because otherwise we're hitting a ceiling of trust. And trust is what helps us break through to the next level where we move from owning to embedding. Now, when we're doing that, when we're on that level three to four transition, we may still see that the team are relying on a leader's oversight. And really what we need to do here is encourage some self-regulation and reinforce the team-wide accountability. It's really important at this stage that leaders, that team members don't feel kind of in any way reprimanded, that there will be repercussions from them trying new things or taking initiative on their own, because we want to build this confidence around that they've got this together. Together they can do it. So this is about creating shared expectations and really building trust that they can deliver on them. And then as we move from kind of embedded to elevated, you know, we've got a high level of accountability maturity here. So this is about developing long-term structures. So we don't want any backsliding going on. What are we going to do in terms of keeping things adaptive, looking at what our meeting structure and rhythm is, so that actually the team don't just kind of fall into complacency? We're continuing to move forward. We're continuing to make progress. And maybe even there's like a succession planning aspect to this, and definitely perhaps even building in our own proactive accountability measures.
Roadmap for leaders. It's about guiding teams through each stage and ensuring that accountability becomes an ingrained habit. How can leaders measure the effectiveness of these strategies as they evolve?
Well, this is the critical thing, right? Right at the beginning, we talked about how important it is to have clarity of expectations. And really, this is about then, I use the phrase magic metric. How are we going to measure what matters? You know, this is not about us having meetings that are too long or conversations that have no point. What this is about is having conversations that matter, meetings that matter. And alongside the five-star meeting, I also have as part of the Own It methodology a five-star scorecard. And that, what that really asks is that we think about what are the measurables, what are the key metrics, and they don't have to be numbers, but what are the key metrics that are going to tell us that we are making progress in the way that is needed. So this is something that each team, maybe each team member, needs to define for the big goals that they're shooting for in this kind of 90-day accountability period. So we've got to define what the metrics are, and then they are part of that five-star weekly meeting. And the way that we access that is through the five-star scorecard.
That's a very practical approach. By defining clear metrics and regularly reviewing them in structured meetings, teams can stay aligned and focused. How can leaders ensure that these metrics remain relevant and adapt them as the team evolves?
Well, this is the thing, you know, this is not a set and forget strategy. Part of the five-star meeting is an assessment of what external factors might be influencing what we need to get done and what we need to prioritize, so that actually we can move, you know, I love the phrase, our big rocks. You know, what are the big things that we need to focus on? We can reorder the big rocks for the team if necessary. It's a continual process of checking in and scanning the environment and making sure we're doing the right work. That's part of accountability done right, is are we focusing on the right thing at the right time?
Absolutely. That adaptability ensures accountability remains relevant and effective. It's about continually aligning with the team's evolving needs. How can leaders best model this adaptability to inspire their teams?
Well, the other R that we haven't spoken about yet, we've talked about rituals, we've talked about routines, and we've talked about rhythms. And the other R, in terms of how do we embed accountability, is the role modeling. And that's such an important thing for leaders to do. It's very hard for teams to buy in to accountability done right if their leader is not doing it right. And so by role modeling adaptability, by being very transparent about the things that are changing and why they're changing, and also that sometimes that's hard. There's a challenge in things needing to change because we may have been committed to a particular path, or it may be that we've put a lot of effort into a particular strategy, but for whatever reason, something needs to change. So there's an authenticity piece to it. There's a vulnerability piece. But the role modeling is the critical. How does a leader help their team become more adaptive? By showing them the way.
Role modeling definitely sets the tone. Leaders demonstrating accountability and adaptability can inspire their teams to follow suit. All right. As we wrap up, what's one actionable step leaders can take today to start embedding accountability into their team's culture?
There are three things that get in the way of accountability done right, and they're kind of like stacking dolls. The first one is confusion, okay? Because we're not clear about what the expectations are that we have of people, or if we're a team member, what the expectations are in our role. And this is important because role clarity is one of the top three factors that contribute to people experiencing burnout in the workplace. When we have certainty, we feel confident, we understand the way forward. I say certainty, and that's important. It's not control, it is certainty. So let's get clear on expectations, and that is the job of a leader. Okay, maybe we don't have all the answers, but actually to do the work to get as clear as we can so that we can be clear with our team about what we do know and what we don't. So that's the first thing. Get rid of the confusion. The second thing is to build confidence that accountability is not going to be a punishing thing. So the next thing to do is to normalize that accountability conversations and talking about how things are going in a way that is open and honest and safe, then that's what creates then a confidence around even having conversations where accountability is a thread in the conversation. So we've got rid of the confusion, we're creating confidence around it, And then the third thing that gets in the way of accountability is that we don't have a culture, we don't have a context where it's normalized. And so having those conversations that build confidence and trust in accountability creates that context, normalizes that this is the way that we do things around here. It creates a culture of sustainable high performance, and those three things together, getting rid of the confusion, building the confidence, and creating a culture of for sustainable high performance, that's where leaders need to begin.
Thank you for sharing these valuable insights. It's been a fantastic conversation, and I'm sure our listeners will find these steps practical and impactful. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, ChatGPT, and thanks for playing the role of Adam Grant in this edition of Unreal Interviews.